Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Well, it's great to be with you today. And I'm very excited that over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to share one of the great subjects that is dear to my heart, the subject of the fact that Jesus is coming back very soon. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, anoint this word over these next 4 weeks and change our lives and help us to get ready for your soon return. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me begin by reading 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things which are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator God, has a wonderful plan for this little planet that he created that we call Earth. God is not caught off guard by the events that transpire here in our world. From before Genesis all the way through to Revelation and beyond, God, our loving Heavenly Father, is sitting on his throne, ruling over the universe and the affairs of mankind. And here's the amazing thing. God's plan for the ages is written down and explained to us in this little book that we call the Bible. God created the earth. He chose Abraham and established an eternal covenant with him to be the father of Israel. Through Israel, God's chosen people, he would bless all the nations. If Israel was faithful to God, he would bless them in the land he gave them. But if Israel was unfaithful, he would remove her from the land and send her into exile. In exile, if she called out to God, he would return her to the land and fulfill his covenant of love with her. And this is exactly what happened in the history of Israel. But Israel's greatest exile came as a result of her worst sin. She rejected Jesus, her promised Messiah. She killed him by nailing him to a cross. As a result, she was driven from the land for her longest exile. For 2,000 years, she was scattered out across the nations of the world. But her failure was an opportunity for the Gentile nations of the world. The good news about Jesus was announced to the Gentiles, and those who believed him from all the nations became his new covenant people. They're called the church. But when the full number of the Gentiles has come into the kingdom, as promised, God said he would miraculously bring back the people of Israel to their land from all the nations he had scattered them to. He would bring them back to the exact land that he gave them as an eternal inheritance, the land of Palestine. God would then begin his plan to restore Israel, his covenant people, back into a relationship with himself and with Jesus, the Messiah, who they rejected the first time. But it would be a time of great trouble and judgment for Israel and the rebellious Gentile nations. But first, God would send Jesus back to take the church out of the way, out of this wicked world, to be with him. And that would trigger that time of terrible judgment for Israel and the Christ-rejecting Gentile nations. This time, we'll see that time, the seven-year time, will be a sea arise of a powerful antichrist world leader who will establish a one-world government with a one-world economic system and a one-world spiritual order. He will especially pursue and persecute Israel. At the end of this seven-year time of trouble, Jesus will come back again with his saints. Israel will have turned to Jesus. Jesus will defeat the rebellious antichrist and set up a thousand-year reign of peace called the millennium, a time of prosperity on the earth. Satan will be bound for that 1,000 years. But he will be released at the end of the 1,000 years, and true to his character, he will once more deceive the nations. Jesus will defeat him again and set up his final judgment of the nations and establish his eternal kingdom right here on the earth. Heaven, the new Jerusalem, and God's throne will come out of heaven down to the earth, and God himself will live with us in peace and prosperity forever. You say, wow, Pastor, how do you know all this stuff? Where did you get all this stuff from? Well, it's all written down for us in this book, this amazing book called the Bible. So, God doesn't want us to be unaware of what's going to happen. What can we expect next? What is the next event in God's plan for the ages? I want to announce it to you. Jesus is coming back. The return of Jesus is one of the greatest themes in the Bible. Every person on this planet needs to be aware of the fact that Jesus is coming back and could return at any moment. Everyone needs to be ready for his return. You see, we're living in a world of increasing rebellion against God. The dream of modern man is to build a utopia by himself on the earth. And you would think with the increase of technology, it would be possible. But in the process of building a better world, we have turned from God, the God of heaven, to the false gods of this world, the God of science. We put our faith in technology and our politicians to solve our problems. Huge technological leaps and tremendous increase of knowledge has changed the way we're living. We travel around the world effortlessly in amazing jet aircraft. The computer has changed the way that we live and work. Daily conveniences like water and electricity and a modern road system, the availability of food in our supermarkets, mean we live a comfortable lifestyle greater than the kings of several generations ago. Medical breakthroughs mean we live longer with a better standard of life. I don't wear any glasses, any spectacles. I had eye surgery, and I see perfectly without them. Amazing medical advances. But in spite of all of this development, mankind has never been in more serious trouble. The world is becoming ungovernable. War and political turmoil and famine and disease and corruption are rampant. Lawlessness, tribalism, ethnic cleansing are the order of the day. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Pleasure seekers try to drown out the pain of life. Sexual perversion, fueled by godlessness, pornography, and so-called gender confusion, leave people more lonely than ever. There's an unrestrained immorality with little or no thought of God's ways and God's law. Materialism has so infected us that we will try to get money and material things at any cost. Debt is crippling families and nations. The family is breaking down, leaving a generation of young people and children who hate their parents. Divorce and common law marriage leaves in its wake millions of broken and hurting people. Is there hope for our world? Where will personal peace and tranquility and security come from? How will we ever solve the multitude of problems in our communities? In spite of the technological and educational advances, people are living in despair and hopelessness. But I've got good news for you. Jesus is the hope of this world, and he's coming back. It is he that will solve the crises of this world. He knows how to make life beautiful. The Christmas prophecy that we read each year from Isaiah says, "For to us a child has been born, to us a son has been given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Life is not just a pointless pursuit of pleasure before we die like dogs to be forgotten. God has a wonderful plan for the planet and for your life. The next great event on God's calendar of events is that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to put an end to the madness, the insanity of this world. He's coming back to take away his people, his bride, the church, before he unleashes his judgment on a rebellious, godless world. He's coming back to prepare Israel to return to him, accept him as their Messiah, and experience national revival. It's all here in the Bible. He's coming back to prepare the world for the establishment of his eternal kingdom. God will not allow the madness and rebellion of this world against him and against his son to go on forever. You know, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is the second most mentioned subject in all the Bible. Only salvation is mentioned more times. One in every 30 verses in the New Testament is about the return of Jesus. There are 318 references in 216 chapters of the New Testament telling us that Jesus is coming back. How can we be sure that Jesus is returning? Because of the power of the Bible prophecy that we have here. This book that I hold in my hand today is no ordinary book. It is a supernatural book. It has no mistakes in it. It is the sure and dependable, unchanging, living, powerful word of our God. One of the things that makes this book, the Bible, the most unique and important book that you'll ever read is that it has, with pinpoint accuracy, announced future events. We call it prophecy. This book, the Bible, is a book of prophecy. No other book even remotely compares to the Bible in the power and accuracy of its prophetic content. The books, textbooks of cults like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventists, they have none. Hinduism has none. The Quran and Islam have none. Why? Because their books are not the Word of God. This precious Bible is. And at the heart of biblical prophecy is the person of Jesus and God's amazing plan of salvation. And it's about Jesus' first coming and his second coming. From creation in Genesis to the wonder of Christ's eternal kingdom in Revelation, the Bible charts God's glorious plan for the ages. It's written down. And yes, I'm here to announce to you that God has a plan, and the next event is Jesus is coming back. The events of history never catch him off guard. He sees the beginning from the end. He's fulfilling his eternal purpose in Christ and in his people and in this world. God unashamedly announces in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." You see, God is a God of precise and specific prophecy. Peter tells us of the first coming of Jesus. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and when we were with him on the sacred mountain, And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining on a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, God does not leave us in the dark, wondering about what will happen in the future. He announces it in the Bible to prepare us. And the primary focus of prophecy is the first and the second coming of Jesus. The first time he came to take away sin. What about the second time? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Jesus is going to bring an end to the madness and the rebellion of this world against the Father and against himself and against his kingdom. And he's going to set up his eternal kingdom forever. So I need to ask you, are you aware of this? Are you waiting for Jesus? Are you looking for his any moment return? You see, there are hundreds of specific details about the first coming of Jesus, and every one of them was fulfilled in minute detail. A recent survey of 10 top psychics over a period of 3 years showed that 6 of the 10 were wrong 100% of the time. The other 4 were wrong 98% of the time. Only 2% of their predictions were right. Even then, it was more guesswork than accurate prediction. For instance, here was one of the predictions. Someone in or near the royal family will fall critically sick or die in the next 3 years. You don't have to be a psychic or a genius to predict that. The queen's in her 90s, so is her husband. The chances of falling sick and dying is pretty good. Well, of course, Princess Diana did die, and the psychics would say, see, we told you. But the fact of the matter is that they provided no details. No name, no event, no place, no companions, no specifics were given. Not so with the Bible when it comes to Jesus. There were hundreds of specific details about his first coming. He would come from the tribe of Judah. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He would be preceded by a messenger. He would enter Jerusalem with a donkey. He would be betrayed by a close friend. He'd have his hands and feet pierced. And you can go on and on and on. The chances of these predictions all coming precisely together is an impossibility. It's one with 18 zeros behind it. That's one chance in 10 billion times 10 billion. Imagine that each inch of the ocean floor is one of those chances. Now you drop a diamond ring out in the ocean and you send someone out with one chance to pick up the ring. Impossible? Yes, but not with God. God is God, and he's the God of Bible prophecy. Jesus himself told us that he was going to come back. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke specifically speak about Jesus coming back. Jesus spends time with his disciples talking about the subject. And he says in Luke chapter 21, verse 27, "And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." John's Gospel, John says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Verse 20, "Yes, I'm coming soon." And that's why John the Beloved said, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." That's the hope of the church. The madness will stop. Jesus will solve the problem. The book of Acts begins with the same promise. In Acts chapter 1, they, the disciples, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Paul's letter to the churches teaches that Jesus will come back. Paul wrote 13 letters to the New Testament churches. He gave them all kinds of practical instructions in theology and correction in life. 13 times he mentioned baptism, only twice communion, but 50 times he announces the second coming of Jesus. It's an important subject. His letters to the Thessalonian churches are packed with information about the return of Jesus. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die, or who grieve like other men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." This is our hope. This is the Bible message. This is not escapism from a wicked world. This is God's plan being fulfilled. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." It was also the subject of the Apostle Peter. When, because of persecution, the leaders of the church were undergoing great difficulty, Peter wrote to them, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." In the middle of whatever discouragement or difficulties you might be facing, we might be facing, there is good news. This trouble won't last forever. Jesus is coming back. Peter wrote about the scoffers. We read about them today. And he warns the church that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That's why we need to be ready at any moment. Suddenly, when we least expect him, like the 10 virgins that Jesus spoke of, 5 were ready and watching and waiting, but 5 were left behind because they were not ready. James, the Apostle James, talks about the same thing in chapter 5 and verse 8. "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." John, the beloved, challenges the believer to holy living. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. He said, "Continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Why will we be confident and unashamed? Because when he comes, we won't be caught up in the trivial matters of life, but we'll be ready to stand before Christ at the judgment seat and give an account of our lives without fear. The book of Revelation, it's the last book in the Bible. It's a graphic account of the things that are going to happen in the years that are just ahead of us. Chapter 1, Jesus in his heavenly glory. Chapter 2 and 3, Jesus' relationship with the church. But then you never hear of the church again. From chapters 4 to 18, it's Jesus' relationship with Israel. It's about a 7-year period of judgment on Israel and the rebellious Gentile nations. Chapter 19 and 20, Jesus' reign on the earth, 1,000-year kingdom of peace. Every one of the Old Testament prophets predict the same event. And in chapter 21 and 22 of Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, the earth is destroyed and made new, and Jesus establishes eternal kingdom. You see, we have abundant promises in the Bible of the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Why is he coming back? Why is Jesus coming back? To stop the madness and the rebellion of the sin-sick world. God will not allow rebellion of mankind against his creator to go on forever. He will not allow men to ignore him and reject his son, Jesus. The message goes out, but people refuse to believe it. He will not allow the wicked to unjustly rule over the righteous forever. He's a righteous judge. God hears the cry of the oppressed and the poor. He will avenge the righteous. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from his glory, from the glory of his might, on the day that he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those who believed." You see, the Bible is very plain about what's going to happen. Jesus is coming back to put a stop to the madness and the rebellion of this world. Jesus is coming back, secondly, to take his people to himself. Those who have loved the Lord will spend eternity with Jesus. We're going to talk about it in the days lie ahead. He won't allow us to go through the difficulties of those days. He will take us away first. Jesus said, if I go away to prepare a place, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me where I am. Thirdly, Jesus is coming back to judge all men and all nations. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God is the righteous judge of all. And in John chapter 5, verse 22, the Father has entrusted all judgment to Jesus. The Bible tells us that every person will stand before Jesus to give an account of their lives to him. The Bible tells us people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. My friend, Jesus is coming back to judge us. The wicked will forever be banished to hell and the presence of Satan, his demonic forces, and all the wicked men and women who have ever lived. Number four, Jesus is coming back to set up his eternal kingdom of peace and justice. Daniel said, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. In Revelation 21 and 22, we read of how heaven will come down to the earth, the New Jerusalem. In Revelation 22, verse 15, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And in Revelation 11, 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's what we look forward to, not the madness of this world. So if Jesus is coming back, when is he coming back? The disciples asked the same question. He told them to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to occupy until he came. He told them no man knows the day or the hour. Only the Father knows that. This is what he told them in Matthew chapter 24. About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men, listen to this, will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at this subject of the second coming of Jesus. We're going to ask the question, what are the signs of Jesus coming? I'm going to talk about that next week. What is the next great event in the prophetic calendar? How will the world as we know it end? Are we really living in the very end times? How can we be ready for the return of Jesus? I want to talk about the rapture of the church. But I have one important assignment for you. This is so important. I don't think I can emphasize how important this is. I'd like for you to take time this week to open your Bible, to take your Bible and to open it up and to read of some of what the Bible has to say about the end times and the return of Jesus. These Bible passages will help you to understand what we're going to preach over the next number of weeks. So here's your assignment. Prayerfully read these chapters, Matthew chapter 24 and 25. It's about Jesus and the end times. Mark chapter 13. Jesus talking about the end times. Luke chapter 21, Jesus talking about the end times. I'm going to ask that these passages be on our website. There's more of them, so that if you don't write them down, or even if they're on the screen, take a screenshot, because I'd really love for you to read all these chapters. Can you read the book of Daniel in one sitting? It's a long book, but it will come to life. It will help you understand. The book of Revelation, 22 chapters, all in one sitting. Get the whole picture at one go. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33, the restoration of Israel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, which talks about the rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the Antichrist and a one-world government that is against the church, against Jesus. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord, the chapter that we've just read. Now I need to ask you this question. Do you know that Jesus is coming back? It's what the Bible talks about. It's the hope of our world. Let me ask you another question. Are you ready? If Jesus was to come back today, would you go or would you stay? Would you be released from the wrath that is going to be unleashed on this world? To be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, enjoying worshiping the Lamb on the throne with 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000s, while on the earth, great trouble for Israel and those who've rejected Jesus. Are you ready? Do you know what you need to do? Just receive Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Master. He'll forgive you all your sins, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He will come back for you. Can I pray with you? As we bow our heads, if you want to receive Jesus right now, you can do that. I want to pray a very simple prayer with you. And if you would like to receive Christ, to be a part of the family of God, to be ready for His return, pray this simple prayer with me. Would you pray after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for coming the first time to pay for my sins. And I know you're coming back to give us salvation. I want to be a part of that. Forgive me, change my life, make me a new person. I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I look forward to sharing next week on the signs of the second coming of Jesus.
No one knows the day or hour when you will come, when you will come. In your splendor and your power, you will return, you will return. Judgment will come, and all whose names are written in there will see your mercy, will see your mercy. Let us be ready, let us be ready. Jesus is coming. To you alone.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.